see everybody tonight. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. I love to be where God is. I love to be in His presence. He lives inside me, and He's with me all the time. And so it is with you if you're saved. What a joy that is. Jesus said, when I go away, so I won't leave you, comes no alone, but I'll be with you. I'll send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that shall dwell in you and will be in you until the day you get out. And I tell you, that's the joy. These are promises, and these are things that we know. We that are saved, it's precious to us. And I tell you, we have a friend that we can depend on, that will never wrong us and never, it's always there for us, even when we don't treat him like we ought to. I tell you, he's a loving God, a long-suffering God, a merciful God, and I'm thankful for that. He's also a God of judgment, and he does bring forth judgment, and sin does have a payday. And therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, Paul said, we persuade men, and I tell you, that's fear in my heart toward him. But it's a godly fear. I love him. I tell you, I love him, and I fear his presence. The Lord knows what I'm trying to say. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have a relationship with God. And I tell you, if you're not saved, you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about until you really get saved. When you do, then you'll know what I'm talking about. We can't really explain it and put it into words like it really needs to be. But we know in our heart how special he is to us. And when you get saved, when he becomes personal to you, when you have that personal experience in grace, then you'll know for yourself. Like the woman at the well said, come see a man that told me all that I ever done. I tell you, she got acquainted with him, and she couldn't wait to go tell what he done for her. She left her water pot behind because she didn't need what she was drawing from before because it didn't satisfy her. But she finally found what she was looking for, and that was her soul, her that need that she had to being saved and being made complete. And she found that the Lord Jesus was there waiting for her. He knew her need, and there he was. And I tell you, that's how we get them in the presence of God. We pray them in. We pray them to the feet of the Lord Jesus. And I tell you, that's how they get saved. It takes labor. It takes those that are saved, that's called by the Lord Jesus Christ to have compassion on the multitude of people and for sinners and those that can't help themselves, and pray them in. And prayer does. Prayer works. I am a believer in prayer myself. And I know that's how I got in. And I know that's how others have gotten in. It's because of prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man doth availeth much. And that's what God told us to do. He said to pray always. When he went into the Garden of Gethsemane there, when he went to pray, he knew his hour had come. And he was about to be crucified. And he went there, and Judas Iscariot was already on his way with the authorities to come and take him. And he went to pray, and the Bible said he was in great heaviness in his heart. He told them there to watch and pray. I'm going to go pray. And he come back and found him asleep. But I tell you, he was very heavy, and he went. He knew what was about to come, and he had prayer. And he said, Lord, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he was faithful all the way to the end. He was a man like you and me, far as the flesh is concerned. But he was God in flesh. But he knew what it was like to suffer. He knew what it was to be in pain, to be rejected, to be cast aside. When he loved, I tell you, he was hated. I tell you, he was wrongly on all different kind of occasions and things that he did. And I tell you, he experienced all of that. And then he went to the Father to pray. And he was faithful, like I said, to the end. And he went up Golgotha's hill and laid down his life. He said, no man shall take my life, I shall give my life. And I tell you, that's what he did. I tell you, he laid down his life willingly, like a lamb dumb before our shearers. He opened not his mouth. He yielded. He was open. He didn't fight them, because he knew this was God's will. And he knew what it would do, that it would save sinners. And I tell you, that's what it took. It took a holy sacrifice. It took a perfect sacrifice that the law couldn't do. The Bible said the law was weak. The law could not save. It could not. The law was just a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was to to let us see that we were sinners. When we heard the law, when we seen what the law had said, we would have to say, woe is me, I'm a sinner because I failed. I failed that law. I've broken that law. I'm a transgressor. And I'm not trying to be anything tonight or trying to sound good. I'm just trying to say what God puts on my heart. And so it don't bother me if I stutter a little bit because God knows my heart. I told him before I got up here, I plan to do nothing but his will. And God knows that that's the truth. And I love y'all. And I tell you, I want to help you. If God can use me to help you, I want to help you. So I just ask you all, let's get our minds together. Let's think about the good word of God. Let's think about the Lord Jesus, our Savior, who died on the cross, who paid an awful price for our sin, that loved us all the way to the end and still loves us. I tell you, he died for us. And I tell you, I'm so thankful he gave his life. I hate he had to die the way he did. But I tell you, I'm glad that he died because there's no way man could be justified and be reconciled back to God. But I tell you, it took the Lord's death, the Lord Jesus, and he died for sinners. Man that knew no sin, he did become sin for you and I, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. And my prayer to God is tonight, if you're not saved, that you get saved. Like I said before, you're wasting your time. You're going to come up empty every time. You're not going to find anything that's going to satisfy you. You're just existing right now and you're trying to have something that will just fill the void. But nothing's going to fill that void but the Lord when you get saved. And I know a lot of you got good intentions of being saved. And you're thinking, well, I'm young, I got plenty of time, and I'll wait later. Come now, when I bid you come, and you'll be glad you did. And I tell you, he'll satisfy you. I tell you, a good job and all these types of things and whatever you may possess and have a lot of monies and these type of things, fortune, fame, will not satisfy you. It's going to take the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to have your sins forgiven. You're born a sinner. You was born with a sinful nature. And I tell you, you were born in a bad condition. We all were because of Adam and Eve when they fell to sin. And all that would come forth from them being born in the world, were born a sinner. Except the Lord Jesus, his seed came from above. He was born holy. I tell you, he was born sinless. But you and I, we come forth with a corruptible seed. But we can be reconciled back to God with an incorruptible seed. By the word of God, we can be born again. You see, isn't that wonderful? Because he made the way. Jesus is the way. He's the door. He said, I am the door. I'm not a thief and I'm not a robber. I'm not a hireling. He said, I am the real shepherd of the sheep. And my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger they won't follow. He said, they'll hear me. The porter will open the door. And when I speak, my sheep will know my voice. And he said, I'm their shepherd. I don't lose any of them. They're all in my hand. And no man can pluck them out of my hand. And I tell you, when you get saved, it's eternal. It's the only thing that God has is eternal life, everlasting life. You don't have none of the other. You can't lose your salvation. You can't lose what God's given you. If you've really been saved, you're eternally saved. That's what the Bible teaches. And there's very few, I believe Baptist may be the only one that I know of that really teach that. That true doctrine. But most Baptists need to get saved. A lot of them been counterfeited. Most of them just went by the way of a preacher and repeated a prayer. And they got baptized in the water. And they told them they were all right. And they're lost. And they live like the world. And they act like the world. And I tell you, they give Christians a bad name. Not just the Baptists, but all the rest of the denominations too. I tell you, this darkness, this blindness upon this world. Because of sin, the devil's done it. Now, the Bible said the God of this world had blinded the minds. And the only hope they have is the good news of the glorious gospel, the real truth being preached by the Holy Spirit giving it. That's what's going to open up people's eyes to see where they stand and what they need. And I tell you, that's what the Word of God's for. And I'm glad the man of God behind me, he stood up and preached and he was faithful. And I tell you, the Lord dealt with my heart as a young boy. And I tell you, I didn't know much about nothing. And I still don't, but I definitely didn't then. And I tell you, I got to the house of God. It was in his house. And the Lord spoke to me. The Lord dealt with my heart. I didn't understand nothing. I mean, I heard it preached and I felt the Lord. I felt his love drawing me, but I didn't understand. I didn't understand the gospel. I didn't understand much about God or anything else. But one thing I did understand and know that I needed help. And I know I was in a condition and I was troubled. And I knew that if I just listened, that love was drawing me. And the Lord was dealing with my heart. And I tell you, the more I came, the more I understood. And that's the Bible said, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how I understood what I needed to do to get saved. How I needed to repent. How I needed to call on God. That it wasn't just a mouth confession after saying some kind of speech or something like that after a preacher. But it was a broken heart and a contrite spirit, being sorry that I sinned against God. And at that age, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew I've sinned. I knew I'd done wrong. I knew lying was a sin. I knew things were wrong. And I tell you, I was just wanting help. God only knew. But I'm so glad He called me at a young age. He called me at 8 years old and saved me. Got alive in me. Pure hell was breaking loose around me, but I had peace in my heart. He was with me. He has been with me ever since. Been almost 43 years. He's been living in me. And that's not a boast, but I tell you, I love Him. I tell you, He's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I love my wife, and I love my kids, and I love all of you. But I tell you, He exceeds all of that. And I tell you, He's done something for me nobody could do. Nobody knew what I was feeling. No one could change my condition. Nobody could come in. No doctor could help me. But the main doctor, I tell you, the chief physician came and He healed me. He cut out the heart of flesh, that heart of stone, and put a heart of flesh in me. Put His presence in there. And I've been a new creature. Been 43 years. And He's always been good to me. Even when I wasn't in church and when I was running and doing things I shouldn't do and I knew they were wrong, I hadn't grown much in the Lord. But I tell you, the Lord was merciful to me. He dealt with me according to my knowledge. According to what I knew is how God dealt with me. And that's how it is with all of us. And the more you understand, the more it's going to be accounted for you. And so as the Word of God is being preached here, saved and unsaved, the devil tells you, well, you're not saved. You can do what you want to do. You can act like you want to act, but not so. You've been preached to. You know. And God's going to deal with you about it. But I tell you, most of all, you need to come. Get your sins on the blood of Jesus. And then you'll be satisfied. This world don't have nothing to offer. There's nothing in this world that you can do that can satisfy you. Drinking booze and taking dope and sex and all those things will not satisfy you. Some of you are real young. You hadn't got out in the world and tried a lot of these things, and I hope you never do. There's nothing in it but hell. The devil makes it look very good, enticing. Oh, how it would be to get drunk or take a little wine or maybe smoke a little marijuana or do a little this, a little that. All this type of things, or sex and all these types of things. Sex without marriage is wrong. That's what the Bible tells us. That's fornication. Adultery is wrong. We'll just name the sins tonight. We need to name the sins. We need to know what the sins are. And I tell you, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm going to point it at me. Lord, help me and all that I need to do. I got a long ways to go. But the Bible tells us, and it names those sins, and they're wrong. Whether you're saved or unsaved. And you need to live the best you can, even being unsaved. But you cannot please God until you get saved. And the only way to please Him is by faith. And faith. And I tell you, the Lord honors that. Those that try to do good, even not being saved. But my prayer to God is tonight that you get saved. Get your sins on the blood. And let Him be the God of your life. Let Him be the Lord of your life. And you'll be satisfied. He's got to work for you. And don't let that scare you. Because we can't do it, but God can do it through you. I know that. I tell you, the devil works on all of us. And I knew I couldn't do it myself when the Lord was calling me to preach. I told the Lord I couldn't do it. And I did run from it. I knew He was calling me. I was young. I got back to church. And Brother Gerald called on me to pray. And the Lord was using me in prayer. And that's not a boast. But I felt Him. He was moving in my heart. And I tell you, I dream about preaching. A lot of different things. God was dealing with me in His own way. And telling me that I had a call on my life to preach. And it is a calling. And I'm nothing, but He did call me. And then He started sending me out. And I knew that's where I needed to be, in that little nursing home. Down with those feeble people. Telling about Jesus and what He done for me and what He can do for them. And I felt His presence and He began to move on me. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it in this world. Some of you say they really never experienced what I'm talking about. You don't have to be a preacher to feel it either. He's got to work for you. And I tell you, you can talk to somebody, testify to somebody, and the Holy Spirit just move on your heart and just pour out of your heart, and you can see it get done in their soul. I tell you, it does something to you too. It's nothing like it. And that's what he did. He called me and I ran from it, but I took heed to it. And I tell you, he gave me more peace. And I tell you, I'm thankful for that because the need is great. The world's perishing. People are dying of sin, going to hell every day. And you got people that have been saved that's sitting on the stools to do nothing and going forth trying to just enjoy pleasures and things of this life and not considering the lost. He saved us to win the lost. He didn't save us to do as we please. He saved us to live unto Him, please Him, win souls. And that's a joyous life right there. That's a glorious life. It's not something you endure as a Christian. It's something that you desire and that you want. And if you really follow those desires, don't let that desire get weak. Because that's what happens when you first get saved. If you don't follow Him closely, if you don't read your Bible and study and pray and seek God and just follow that burning desire in you that want to learn more and to feed from Him and drink that milk and get where you can eat some meat. And only God knows if you eat meat, brother, I'm so glad for you, all of you. But I tell you, that we just got to just keep that desire. And I tell you, if you don't, you'll get burnt out and the devil will overtake you. The flesh has got the upper hand on you. I tell you, your flesh is weak and mine is too. And I tell you, you won't please the Lord like that. And even with all your good intentions and all the people you should be winning and all those you should be telling about the Lord and trying to help, I tell you, that their blood's going to be on your hands if somebody don't get them in. God called us to get them in. And I want to be faithful. When Jesus comes, the Scripture said, will He find faith on the earth? And I tell you, I want to be looking, and I am looking for Him. He is coming. It's not just some fairy tale. He's coming. And He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. We don't know the day or hour, but we know He's coming. And you need to be prepared to meet Him. The bridegroom's coming. Prepare yourself. Have oil in your lamps and your vessels. Be prepared. Have the Holy Spirit. Not just a head knowledge and a lip service, but a heart service and knowing Him. Isaiah talked about that with the people, the way they were. And I'm not saying about you, and you could fall in this category. That's between you and God. The Bible said that they do honor me with their lips. They talk about me, but their heart's far from me. They don't know me. They're not mine. They're not mine. They're not a child of God. But I tell you, they're all God's creation. He wants everyone to be saved. That's why He died for the whole world. He died for everybody. That means everybody's got a chance. But I tell you, a lot of people will turn their face away from Him. And the Bible said when they do that, then they reject the Son of God. And they'll die that condition. They'll die in sin and go to hell. Because He made the way that you can come and be saved. And I know everyone here is not saved, wants to be saved. And I know you got good intentions and when you're going to come. Maybe have it down on the calendar. When this happens, then I'll start seeking God. Do you need to come now while you can? We're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. And we need to be prepared. Are you prepared tonight? Really, are you really prepared to meet the Lord? I hope and pray that you are. And I know some of you ain't, and you know it too. And I believe in prayer, and I know you'll get saved if you'll seek Him. You could get saved tonight. I know the Lord's dealing with you. He's been calling your name for a while now. I know it. Brother Gerald knows it. Some of the other brethren know it. And the Lord's been calling you. Won't you come tonight? Won't you just give it all up? Just turn it all over to Him. I tell you, you're fighting a losing battle. But it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you that you're fighting against, that you're putting off till tomorrow. Won't you come today and have it today? And you won't have to suffer a lot of things that you'll go through. And not only that, you'll be totally satisfied. And not only that, and a lot of you got good hearts too. It makes my heart feel good when some of you not even say that's in prayer for those that you work for and with and your friends. You got a good heart. You want to help them. You want them to have help. God can use you. He will use you. And there's a purpose for every one of you. All of us, there's a purpose, there's a work to be done, and we must do it. If we all do our part, then this body will be able to work like it needs to, and souls will be saved. Revival is coming, but He's waiting on the church. He's been waiting on the church a long time. He's waiting on the church to get right. He's waiting on all of us. And I'm going to put myself in there, and that's between you and God. But I know I got a long ways to go, and I want to get closer and cleaner, and I don't want to hinder nothing that God's trying to do. I don't want to have no thought. I don't have nothing in me, my heart. I don't want to have no schism in the body. I want soul saved. I want God's people fed. I want the work to go for. I tell you, I'm very jealous for the Lord God of Israel. I'm jealous of Him. I'm jealous of His Word. And I tell you, I love Him. And I want people to be saved, not just here, but everywhere. And I tell you, I know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, we shall come again rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. There is going to be a harvest. He wants us to enjoy that, enjoy the harvest. Before there's a harvest, there's a lot that goes and takes place before then. There's a time that the ground must be prepared. The ground's got to be prepared first before the seed is ever planted. And the seed's got to be planted. And the seed's got to be watered. And then as it grows, it's got to be took care of. It's got to be really watched over. And watch out for the tares that's going to hinder the wheat to grow. Anything that's going to hinder that, we got to pray about it. We got to get it out. And it's a process. And it comes a time when the bloom comes. And then the fruit begins to come. Right before the harvest, you see, the rain's got to come. The water, all of this, has got to take place before there's a harvest. And when it does, when you'll be able to pick that fruit, or pick that what that vegetable is, and eat it, it's good. And I tell you, that's what it is as far as souls are concerned. We must labor. It's not a labor today and take off tomorrow. It's a labor every day. It's keeping our mind focused, keeping our eyes single in full light, and thinking on the welfare of others all the time. I tell you, all the time. And when we do that, I tell you, we're in a prayerful attitude, and we can help people. Our eye needs to affect our heart. And we wrapped up in self, we can't see nobody else. We can't see the need of other people because we're constantly thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about, and we're just overwhelmed with the world, with the flesh, and you can't see it because you're blinded. That's what happens. That happens to all of us if we go that road. But the Bible said the way to keep our eyes single full of light is the Word of God. The very entrance of the Word giveth light. And it's His Word. If we study the Word and love the Word, wanting to get into the Word. I mean, just looking for it. Lord, what would You have me to have? What are You going to give me to eat, Lord? I'm hungry. You know, and I need to do a whole lot more. But that's what I want. It is food to the soul for the believer. And I tell you, when you get into the Word of God, it does give you light. The Bible said, the law is a lamp unto my feet. David said that, and a light unto my path. And I want to daily hide the Word in my heart that I may not sin against Him. When you hide the Word of God in your heart, you're casting off these things that's coming and the temptation that comes and sin that the devil works on you about. You see, because you're focused, you're in tune with the Word of God. And that we must do that all the time, every day. And when we do that, we're built up. We're building up our most holy faith. We're putting on the arm of righteousness. We're putting on His armor that He told us to put on. And you know what it is. We all got to put it on. And we can't leave nothing off. Because whatever we leave off is where the devil's going to hit. Those fiery darts that he has, he knows exactly what's not covered. And he's going to hit that spot. Whatever our weaknesses are, that's where he's going to come. He knows where your weakness is. He knows where mine is. And so every day he'll come and tempt you with that. Every day. He'll come and try to work on you every day. Where you're weak and where what really hits home with you. It may not. Some might be dope. Some might be alcohol. Some might be sex. Some might be just your tongue. Whatever. But he knows exactly where we live. And he'll come and work on every way he can to cause us to fall. Because when he causes us to fall, we're not just the one that falls. And all that's committed our trust is put in jeopardy. And he knows that, you see. We gotta have this vision. And we got to know who we're battling against. And we got to know that's why he's trying to get us. It's not just destroy us. It's destroy all of that God's committed to our trust. And prayer is important. We got to win them. We got to get them in. And if you've really been saved, brother or sister, get busy about the Father's business. Don't put it off. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at in your life, put God first. And when you do, everything else fall in place. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But it's good and it's right. And it will get easier as you get your mind made up. You won't do nothing unless your mind's made up. We've been taught that for years by Brother Gerald, man of God behind me. He's taught us that for years, and you won't. You won't do anything in this life unless you get your mind made up. And you look at the world, you look at these people, these multimillionaires and all these people. I tell you, they got their minds made up. And they're going to make that dollar. And they gave their life to make that dollar. And I tell you, they know how to get it. They stay focused. I mean, they all the time looking up things. They're having meetings. They're doing things, talking about it. They're going to their people that hold their money. And they're talking about it. They're looking at the stock market. They're looking at all this. Their mind's made up. They're focused. But it's for something that's corruptible. It's going to pass away. But we as Christians, we ought to be that way of serving God. Not looking for the dollar. Not looking for fortune and fame. He provides. And we have to be reminded that this is not our home. That we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. We're not to live like we're going to live here forever. And hoard up and build up and do all that we can just to see what we can get. No, it's the souls. That's where he said to put your treasures in heaven, where the moth and the rust don't corrupt it. That's souls. That's everything that's done and labors in the Lord. And I tell you, you build your treasures there. One day we'll have that. I don't deserve none of it. If I've done anything, if I receive anything, if I receive any rewards from the Lord Jesus, I'm going to give it right back to him. Say, thou art worthy. Thou's done it all. I've done nothing. Thank you for just choosing me as a vessel. Because I'm not worthy. Because he's the only one worthy. But he'll use anyone that will yield their heart and open their heart to him. Once you get saved, he'll use you. He's no respecter of person. He loves us all. He's very jealous for his work. And he's ready to use you. But you got to get over self. Self is the hardest one to get over. I know that because I've been fighting myself all these years. I tell you, I'm weak too. And I tell you, I ask God to help me all the time about myself, because I tell you what I see, I don't like. I am full of holes. I try not to practice sin and run after things like that. I'm not running after willful acts of sin. But I tell you, I try to keep my mind on him. But I got a long ways to go. I just let things of life sometimes get to me too much. I tell you, I just want it to roll off my back, just like a duck's back. I mean, trust God and be sincere and earnest, but don't let things take me down and wear me down where I can't really be focused on the Word of God. And this is something we all dealing with, all that are saved. And so I know that the Lord gives it for us all to be reminded to think about ourselves and to what we need to do. This is a service to get things together and let's go to work. Let's go to, we got a race to run. We got a fight to fight. And let's just go ahead and get our armor ready. Let's go ahead and shine up our boots. Let's go ahead and get on that armor. And let's get together. And let's get be with each other. Have each other's back. And let's go in the name of the Lord Jesus. And let's go out and fight a good fight. And let's win them. And let's help them get in before it's too late. The song says, throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother whom someone should save. Someone's brother, oh, who will it dare? Throw out the lifeline, his perils to share. They're out there on life's sea. They're in the world. They can't help themselves. They haven't been taught like we've been taught. They haven't been preached to like we've been preached to. And I tell you, they need the Lord. They need somebody to tell them the truth and love. And we got the keys. We understand. We know what we need to do. We that are saved. And let's get out there and win them. The Lord's coming. I tell you, violence in the time of Noah, before the Lord destroyed the first world, look at all that was going on. We're living in a day of violence. We're living in that time. We're living in that time when they call the evil good and good evil. We're living in that time when judgment, you know, and truth fails. They don't want the real truth. People lie to themselves and they think just because they say it that way, it's the truth. They think, well, ain't nothing wrong with this sin. I enjoy it and there's nothing wrong with it. I don't see nothing wrong with it. They're dark and they're blinded. But it's wrong. That's what the Bible tells us, it's wrong. And we know it is. But people lie to themselves. We're living in that time right now. Our world's in a bad shape. And that's because of the Word of God's not being preached. I tell you, and real Christians are not living like they ought to, but there's very few of them. And I tell you, one day it's all going to be over. God's going to say, that's enough. He's going to tell the Lord Jesus it's time. Even the Lord Jesus don't know the day or hour when He's coming. Only the Father knows. And there's going to come a time when God said it's over. And go get my people and bring them home to me. And I tell you, folks, we're living in dark times. And we must pray. But be sure before you go out somewhere, you pray, be sure that God's okayed it. And you feel good about it in your heart. God's telling you. Because I tell you, there's people out there, they hate you. They don't care who you are. They're ready to kill. They're ready to rape. They're ready to do anything. And I tell you, there's not enough fear of God in their eyes, and there's definitely no fear of judgment of our justice system. And I tell you, that most of them get off. It's pitiful and it's terrible. But I'm not trying to pump fear in you. I go out and I feel good about it, and I'm not worried. I'm not worried about getting the COVID-19. I could get it. If I do, the Lord will help me, and I know He will. And I'm not saying it's not real, but I'm not worried, and I'm not living in fear like this mainstream media wants me to live in. And that's the way they want you to live in. Total fear, where you won't get out, where you won't go to work, where you won't do nothing. They want you sitting still. They want to make things look really horrible and bad because they got one thing in mind, and that's the election. And I'm going to tell you that, and I'll say it right out of my heart, and I don't feel bad. I feel the Lord when I'm saying it. That's exactly what they're doing. And I tell you, they want that power, and they'll do anything to get that power. They commit murder. They do all kind of things. And that's exactly what they want. And that's what they're doing. And I tell you, that's what they want you to live in, total fear. But I pray and I go in the Lord to take care of me and my family. And I'm not worried about it. Somebody hacking and over there in the corner somewhere and sick as a dog, I'm not going to go over there unless God sends me over there. In other words, I'm going to use good sense. I'm going to wash my hands like I've always done. I don't need the beater to tell me how long I need to wash my hands. I tell you, that's really, you got that in your conscience. You ought to have it. You ought to know you need to stay clean. If you're a Christian, you're living for the Lord, you'll be clean. You want to be clean. Cleanliness, I believe, is close to the heart of God. But people do need reminding. A lot of people don't wash their hands. And I hate to see that. Someone come in a restroom and they'll leave without washing their hands. I have to wash mine, and I'm going to wash my hands. That's what God wants us to do. We need to be clean. And I tell you, people need to do that. But I tell you, most people, I believe, have that kind of sense. But we're living in times where it is dark, and we're in a difficult time now in the history of this nation, and we do need to pray, like Brother Gerald was speaking of. And I've been trying to do that more so for our president and for all those that's in authority, our governor and our mayors, those that are on the right side, trying to do the right thing. And I'm praying for those others too. I hope they get saved, but I'm praying that God will move them out. Because they are damaging and they're hurting. People are dying over this. People are dying. Over there, I believe in Portland, I believe it was. Over in Oregon, I believe, is where there's been more murders. About 47 murders in this year alone. And I forget what it was in just July. No comparison whatsoever to the COVID-19, how many's died. Very little. And there they are, committing murder, shooting one another, killing one another, everywhere. And they're not saying nothing about that. All they're doing is talking about the COVID-19. I tell you, we need to get out there. We need to, somebody's got to take control. And I'm all for Trump putting out the feds. Let's get them out there. And I'll just go ahead and preach it. I tell you, I'm not worried about it. And it's, I don't know if it's going to go on the air of the internet or not. But if it does, that's wonderful. And I hope it does. But I tell you, we need to put them in their place. Get the feds out there. They have no right to burn down a federal building. They don't have no right to take somebody else's property and burn it. And just come up to somebody and bruise them and bust them upside the head because they don't like their skin or they just don't like them. It's wrong. God's not happy with it. God's going to deal with them about it. You better believe that. Whether they're white, black, orange, Chinese, Japanese, it don't matter. There's only one race given, one blood given, and God's going to give, every man's going to give an account. When I tell you all these things is going on, somebody's got to take something and have some authority. They're so afraid of a civil war. Nobody wants that. I don't want that. I love every man, every woman. It don't matter the color of their skin. And there is people that are prejudiced. They are racist on all points, on all nationalities. And it's out there, and it's bad, and it never should have been. But it's still going on in some places and times. There's going to be that. But they're pumping all that, and they play it every year, every time the election comes around. And this year they've done it even in a more intense way. And that man should, that white cop should never kill that black man that was begging for his life. That was wrong. And the man sat there and did it purposely. I didn't know much about it at first until I understood a little more and saw the video of it. That's wrong. It's awful. And they should have hung him. They ought to hang that man. That's wrong. He committed murder. God gave that man life. He had no right to take that man's life. He had no right. The man was subdued. He was there. Lifeless. I mean, there. They had him under control. And there he was, just taking his breath away from little at a time. It's wrong. And I tell you, it's awful. But that's what's going on. But we need somebody to tell the truth. We need somebody to preach it. And a lot of these churches, they're preaching hate. And here it is. A lot of the white and the blacks both, they think, well, it's time to war against one another. It's not against one another. It's not. That's not that at all. You got good and bad in all people. And we need to take away the bad. And I tell you, that's what you need to see. And that's what's going on. But they're using all this. And it does. It hurts me and angers me. Because I can see it. And I tell you, I'm a big dummy myself, but I can see that. The Lord let me see that. And that's what's going on. And it's terrible. We need to pray for our nation. Pray for those that are in authority. And a lot of these people, a lot of these murders in these places, that they're ruled by Democrats. They talk about civil rights. They talk about trying to stand up for the right of man. But there they are, all the people being killed. And they'll have nothing to say about it too much that I can hear of. I tell you, we need to do all we can. We're living, that's all because of sin. And it's going to get that way, and it's going to get worse and worse till the Lord comes. Sin, all this violence, it's coming, it's here, it's going to get worse. But we can know for sure the God we serve is well able to watch over us, to keep us, and to guide us. He wants us to be that bright, shining light in this dark world. We got to shine out above the rest. If we look like and talk like and just try to be just religious like the Pharisees, and we'll blend in with all the rest of them, and won't be no light shown. But if you're really living for God, your light will shine above all of that. And they'll see it. They'll know. There's something different about that man. There's something different about that woman. And they'll feel that. And they'll sense that. And that's worth everything. And so if you say, we got to meet everybody, and I'm including myself. Get over self, and let's get busy. Let's get down to prayer. Let's pray for the services here. Let's pray for the man of God. His desire, wholehearted desire, is to preach, and that's my desire for him as well. And the Lord's going to do what he needs to do when it's time. But he wants us all to come together. Let's pray about it. We are desiring it, ready for it, and praying for all that are carrying the word of God that's preaching. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for these special requests, all these special needs. We are a group of believers here that are saved. And we're called of God in this church to do our part and to pray for these prayer requests, to win the lost. It's up to us. And we need to be faithful. We've had preaching. We know. It's not like we don't know. We do know. And we just need to get busy. And I'm trying to do that myself, be more inclined and get closer and cleaner, more like the Lord. Because I do know I got a long ways to go. I do. And I'm asking God to help me. I love to pray. I love to talk to Him. I tell you, just sit down in the evening when I get home. This past week's been good to me. I just talk it all over with Him. Start out thanking Him for let me live that day. And how he watched over me all that day. And how he just helped me in my mind to do the work I need to do. And all that. How he watched over my family. I give him thanks for all of that. When I ask him to have mercy and forgive me, cleanse me, and help me. And when I feel, and which he has to give me a nudge, because I never feel worthy to pray for nobody else. But then he starts bringing people to my mind. And I start praying for their soul. And my prayer request, he put in my heart. And I'll share this with you. I was praying Sunday morning. And the Lord sometimes brings people to my mind. I can just see it. And I seen this young lady, blonde hair. I said, I don't know who that is, Lord. And this is not the first time this has happened. But I'll say and pray, whoever that is, Lord, just have mercy and help them and meet the need. And I got here at church, and here comes Jenna walking through the door. And I said, that's it. That's her. I'm nothing. I got a long ways to go, but he helps me. But he was speaking to me. He wanted me to pray for her. And here she come. The Lord sent her in. He's watched over there in Japan. And the other ones too. All the ones in the church. He's watching over them because of prayer. Not just mine, but all you praying, all those that's in shape to pray, it's the answer to your prayers. I know Brother Gerald's praying for all this church, all of his grandkids. He loves all his grandkids. It upsets me. It's none of my business. They all should come and see him. They all should come and sit down with him. They all should call and tell him they love him. Good man. Always has been. And I love him. Good man. Better than that. I learned a lot from him. The Lord in him. And you don't get that by being wishy-washy. God only does that to the faithful. He blesses the faithful. He puts his power on those that are faithful. Those that fight a good fight and those that's been tried and tested. And if anybody's been tested and tried, it's him. If anybody's been through some trials, fiery trials, it's him. He has been. He's been faithful. And that his work, it will be rewarded. It already has, and it's going to be even more so. And I know God's helping him now. He's going to help him. And I know you have. I hope you have. Been praying for his health. Praying for all of his organs. Praying that the Lord has blessed him most of all to preach. Build him up spiritually. And I know he loves the Lord, and he's doing all he can. And I'm just saying we all need that. I know I do. And we need to really lift him up in prayer. Especially him. The Bible said double honor goes to those that love you, that's watched over your soul, that's preaching the word, that's feeding you. Double honor and love and prayer for the person. They need it. You better believe they only got a fight on their hands. Satan, like I said before, he wants us all to fall where he can take down a lot of people. And that's what he definitely wants to do, take down the man of God. Like it was, well, I think, remember, Brother Gerald preached about it, Brother Roloff too, about come down, old man of God, come down. Come down off the mountain, come on down. And that's what the devil wants. He wants God's people, those that's carrying the word, come on down. Don't stay on the mountaintop, don't do what God wants you to do. Just live like the rest of us. You know, those that view the far off, come on down here. He went down with them. He's concerned about them, and there they got in trouble. Because they was viewing afar off. But the devil don't want us standing for the Lord. But I love you tonight. I tell you, it was kind of scattered. But God knows I just spoke what's in my heart. I asked him about a scripture. He didn't give me a scripture. But he did tell me to speak. And he did tell me he would take care of it. So I hope it's a blessing to you. And I hope the Lord done something to your heart. That is my prayer. And I want you to pray for me. Because I got a long ways to go. I want to be a good representative. I want to be a good example of a Christian and of a preacher. And I'm not meeting that. I got a long ways to go. So I'm asking you to pray for me that I get more like the Lord. Not be able to represent Him in a better way. I want to win souls. I want to speak to people. I want to get them in. I want the broadcast to be a blessing. I tell you, I'm very ignorant. I'm not a well-educated man and don't want to be. But I do want to do all I'm supposed to in the ministry he's put me in. And I know what needs to be said, he'll say it. and then it'll do what it needs to do. And people are perishing. And I want you to pray for me about with that. The Lord will help me and use me and open my mouth when I do speak, that He will deal with the hearts that's listening. And not only me, but all those sermons and all that faithfulness and hard work that Brother Gerald's done in the past and he's still doing, that those sermons will go out and people will listen, and people are listening. And there's people gotten saved all over the world through his preaching. And we may not see it now, and we may not know it down here, but one day we will. And we'll see. And we can know it don't come back void. Because there is a labor. And there is a fight that you do. And it's worth it all. And we need to pray about all that. That they'll listen to him. And others too. Brother Vernon McGee. Oliver B. Green. Edgar Thomas was a man of God as well. Some of the others that's passed on and went on. I tell you. We need real preachers. We need people that are going to be real and honest. And we need those with the power of God on them. And I've yet to hear it. I felt the power in some of them. And I definitely felt grace in them. I've never seen the power. Like Brother Vic mentioned. And others have mentioned. And others have mentioned in the past. The power that was on him. Because he sought it. He sought the power. He didn't seek for how to be educated and how to talk about all the A's and the B's and these different sermons. And that's good as far as studying and let God give it to you. But he sought it and asked God for the power, like Paul said. He said, I didn't come unto you in fancy words and with the wisdom of the world and those type of things. He had it. He was a very knowledgeable man. But he came in the power and a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And that's when all the people got saved. And see, that's what God, that's our pattern to follow. All of us, even if you're not a preacher, and I'm going to quit in just a second. Don't go around thinking that you're not important, that it's not important for you to live for God and do what you're supposed to do. We all have an office. We all have a gift. We're a member. And we must fulfill that. And if it's just staying at home and praying all through the day, That's you doing more than, I mean, you'll be having a part in all the souls that's getting saved under a man of God that's preaching because she prayed for it. God is just and it's all important. So don't feel like you're not important if you don't preach or if you don't ever get to pray or anything like that. But you know you're very important and you've got a great need. You need to fulfill that. The work that God's put you out to do. Find out what it is. Follow it wholeheartedly. And God will bless you. And He'll give you peace. And you'll know that you're where you ought to be. And what you're doing is right. But I love y'all. Pray for me. And God bless y'all.